Rangers! Rescue ready!
Can we just get the game instead?
Let's go.
Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue is here! Help all your favorite characters battle the forces of evil in an all-new video game!
Rated E for everyone.
Welcome to Remember 64, where this week we're Rangers and we have the power. Also, we have a giant robot, but we'll talk about that later. Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is David Petrangelo, and these aren't my Rangers that I grew up with. No, mine didn't morph, but they were mighty. There were also two little chipmunks and animated, and they had a really good and funny movie that came out just a couple years ago. Everyone should check that out. I will say, though, that series and this series, great theme songs. If you haven't figured it out yet, I will tell you in a minute what I'm talking about.
It's morphin' time! No, wait. Wait. Lightspeed Rescue! That's it. That's where we are. Okay, cool.
That's the one.
That's the one.
If any of that made any sense, which maybe it didn't, and that's totally fine, you might have guessed that we're playing Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue on the N64. It is one of three versions of this game that came out in one single year in 2000, one for Game Boy Color, one for PlayStation, and one for this Nintendo console. Jiggy, look back. How are you, sir? How's it going?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic.
That's good.
I'm doing fantastic.
If anyone's listening to this when around its release, we're kicking off 2024 with a banger, I would say, in some ways.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Dang. This kind of just like came to you last time we were talking about what we'll play next. And I said, you know what? Boom. Let's just do it. Let's go for it.
I have no idea why this came to me.
It's totally fine. I saw it come up on one of my social media feeds, like, I want to say like a couple months ago or something. And I go, I guess we'll get to that eventually. And here we are, everybody. Let me just say,
before we start talking about the actual game, the cover and the actual like art is pretty cool looking. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I think, you know, you put in that really cool pose, that really cool, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's cool. Yeah, sure.
Superhero landing.
Right?
And the cartridge is black.
I wrote that down because I was like, you know what? Yeah. At least it has the black cartridge, which is always a fun time. So,
yeah. And it's colorful. Cool.
It could be worse, you know? It definitely could be worse.
Not much.
Not much, though. before we get into the game itself, I'm going to do this a little bit off the top because I'm going to forget later because that's just me. But 2024, we're doing some interesting stuff. We're not just going through the library itself of the N64. We are going to be playing some mods, and we're going to be playing some unreleased games and unreleased versions of games and stuff. So I think it's going to be something a little bit different on every couple of episodes or something, but we're going to have video up on their video feed of the actual episode itself, so you can see what we're playing, because they're not always accessible to everybody unless you have like an emulation device or something like that, or a way to play them. But Smash Brothers is on the list, Banjo-Kazooie, Zelda titles, like we just have a lot that that we can go through and mess around with. So I don't know, Jiggy, is there one in particular at least that you're like most looking forward to, or...
Just out of mods in general?
Yeah.
I would say there are two that I'm really looking forward to really diving into. Smash Remix. That's a cool one. I'm super pumped to go through Jiggies of Time for Banjo-Kazooie.
I'm so excited.
But the one thing I really, really want to look at, and like probably above all the rest is not a mod, but it's the Dinosaur Planet N64 build. Because Star Fox Adventures is one of my favorite games, and just the fact that it's on the 64 in some way, shape, or form, it's like the last Rareware game that, not the last one, obviously, but the last
from like the heyday,
that original, kind of like,
thing.
Yeah, from like the 90s. It's like, oh, we get this little secret game that we never played this version of. And it's just, there's something about that that really draws me in.
Yeah.
Super excited about that one.
Yeah. A lot of this stuff I have very little or no experience with. Like, it doesn't matter what game it is. So I'm excited to sort of do something a little bit different and explore these different ideas. Like, one, stuff that maybe was unreleased, like you're saying, like that game there is an interesting way of playing that game that ended up being something different, which is awesome. But also just like the ideas that people have now, and they create mods or they create a game that is N64 inspired, and it, you know, released in 2022 or something like that. Like, I love it. We're going to explore all that kind of stuff. We're going to play something different, and we're going to be able to share the gameplay itself. So if it's not something that you can play yourself or find online or whatever, you can see us playing it and most likely see me suck at it because I'm not very good at games sometimes. So, but that's what 2024 has in store, working through the library and then playing mods, unreleased games, newer games that are 64 inspired. So we're definitely going to be doing something fun and new with the podcast. So stay tuned.
Heck yeah. And I will say that I am actually developing my own N64 style game. And I am hoping that maybe Remember 64 could be the exclusive first look at the playable demo.
Ah, and what is this called, sir? What is this called?
Abo and Sierra. It's like Banjo-Kazooie crossed with... Well, I guess it's like Banjo-Kazooie. Yeah.
Crossed with the other Banjo-Kazooie. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess Donkey Kong 64 was what I was gonna say, but
yeah,
kind of similar. So
it's true. It's true. That's pretty much where it's from. I mean, and those are titles and franchises you love. So why not? You know, people draw from their inspirations and from the things that they enjoy. So that's awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about a little. There's not a huge background with this game. I do find it interesting. I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just like a nerd for this kind of stuff. But I really love when games have a different version on another console or handheld or whatever, and they've come out, you know, within a small window of each other. So like I mentioned, there's three versions of Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue, which was a TV show that began in 2000, and then they immediately made games, or at least they were developing them as the show came out in North America. So THQ is a big name that you'll see when you pull up the game and you start it. THQ is a very recognizable name, especially through the 90s and early 2000s. Eventually, they went away. Big whole kerfuffle. They got sold or they went bankrupt. I can't remember exactly what it is. But then they basically rebranded themselves as THQ Nordic now. So if you look around and you see THQ Nordic, that's kind of where it came from. But it's not the same studio. It's not the same publisher. It's just a whole other thing now. And that was only a few years ago. But the N64 version was created by Mass Media. Mass Media was the developer. THQ was the publisher for all three of these versions. Mass Media made games like Namco Museum, also developed StarCraft 64, which I'm super excited to try out. I don't know how good or bad that's going to be, but I'm interested. Are you a StarCraft fan? I don't know. I don't know if we've ever talked about that. Are you or RTS
I've
fan?
I've honestly only played it like once.
Oh,
I think.
Okay. Interesting. But okay.
StarCraft is like Command & Conquer, right? Like,
yeah, RTS,
that style, just like sci-fi. Because
yeah.
I've played Command & Conquer on the 64, but I never played StarCraft on the 64. But I have played a StarCraft game before.
Oh, okay. Well, there's only two, and then there's the expansions. There's obviously for PC, and then this one. Interesting to sort of, it's such an early time to bring a game like an RTS to a console as well. Like, I know there's SimCity and those types of things and Civilization and that kind of stuff on like, you know, the SNES and Genesis and stuff like that. But I don't know, something about StarCraft. I'm interested. So when I saw that, when I was looking this up, I go, oh, okay. They were tapped to do something like StarCraft, which at the time was a very big brand for Blizzard and everything. Okay, cool. Great. They brought that to it. I hear that game's, you know, decent enough. But what's interesting is that Mass Media closed eventually, but before they did, they actually helped fine-tune the GPU of the PlayStation 3, which is kind of cool. So they stopped kind of like making games, and whoever was left in the studio or whatever it is. So they actually developed some technology to help the PS3 run better, which is really cool. So, you know, they worked with Sony pretty closely. Game Boy Color, Natsume is the name of the developer for that game. They mostly did licensed games, such as the awesome Power Rangers game on the Super Nintendo from 1994. One of my favorite early SNES memories of playing a sort of like beat 'em up like that. I don't know. Have you ever played that game? The old
yes. Interest,
yeah, I love it. I yes. love it so much. So
the theme song is so much better.
The theme song is great. Yeah, exactly. Oh, speaking of theme song, I mentioned theme songs in my opening spiel there. I was of course, I was talking about Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. That's what I was referring to. Chipmunks and Hilarious. Also, the movie they came out with. I can't remember the full title, but it is so good. It's like anime. It's sort of like the Who Framed Roger Rabbit style, where it's, you know, animated, yeah. but also real. It's so funny, man. It's about them dealing with the fact that they're old. It's so good. It's hilarious. Okay, so, and then the PlayStation version. Yeah, PlayStation version of this game was made by Climax Studios. They began as just doing ports in the 80s and 90s, and then in the 90s and 2000s worked on a bunch of licensed games, including the Warhammer franchise, which is massive for a lot of people. And they have a bunch of listed games. There's tons of different ones. But yeah, three different developers for essentially the same branded game, which I think is a little bit different. I don't know if that's all that
common. It is different.
So, yeah. So I said, I mentioned all three of these studios, not because it's super important to the N64 version of this. And I don't like shitting on people's work, but I think the N64 got the shit end of the stick when it comes to this.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, even just looking up the reviews, it pretty much goes Game Boy Color is the best version, followed by PlayStation, and then N64 trails behind pretty significantly, actually.
Yeah, yeah, like significant, yeah. So the PlayStation version looks kind of like an early Marvel Ultimate Alliance game a little bit more zoomed in, but it's kind of like a 3D-ish beat-em-up kind of thing. Game Boy Color is a side-scrolling platformer. I played this, so I'll talk about that in a little bit. And I wrote down for the N64, it's, well, at least it has a black cartridge. That's what I wrote down. That's what it has going for
it. Yep.
So.
Yep. That sounds about right.
Okay, so we'll talk about the game and stuff too, but going into this, do you have Power Rangers love, experience, nostalgia? What's your relationship with Power Rangers? Not even just this specific one, but just in general.
I was never super into Power Rangers, but I mean, Mighty Morphin was out when I was a kid. That was, everybody loved Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Everybody had a crush on Kimberly. That was the thing. Yeah, I kind of watched here and there different series within Power Rangers. Wild Force, I remember. I remember Lost Galaxy. I remember Time Force. All kind of that late 90s. And then Lightspeed came out in the 2000s. And I remembered the outfits, like how the actual Rangers looked. I actually did, for this episode, I went back and watched like the first two episodes of the series. And I gotta say, like, let me just tell you this. Okay, so
please.
So the plot is like...
Oh, tell me what the plot is. Yes.
These like explorers or whatever accidentally open up this container that had demons in it. I'm not joking. And the demons like fly out and basically like gonna rain hell on the planet. And these Rangers are based out in California, and they basically I'm not going to say the police force, but like a special forces unit. They figured out how to tap into the morphing grid and could make Power Rangers. But like the old Power Rangers, like OG, like Mighty Morphin got the dinosaurs as like their symbol of their Zords and everything. Mm-hmm. Wild Force got like all different animals, like eagle, lion, like all these different things, right? you pretty much had that reoccurring theme of like the Zords are cool in some way, right? Yeah. And then this one, they were just like an ambulance and a fire truck. And I don't know. There's just something about that that's so lame. I didn't latch into it. I never got into it. But ironically, like after Lightspeed, there came Dino Thunder. And Dino Thunder was the last one I remember like being like, yeah, this one's pretty good. But comparison wise, it also had Jason David Frank return, which that's a thing entirely. This is like, this is its own standalone things. I also found the actual, like, looking back, the actual actors and everything, like, super bizarre, because Power Rangers is like, it's about teenage kids that get this power, right? It's that whole thing. They're like, we need angsty teenage kids. And this is the first one, as far as I remember, that they weren't really kids. They were established adults with, like, careers. One was a firefighter. One was an extreme climber. One was, a water trainer. I don't know, whatever. Not a water trainer like Pokemon, but a water trainer like sea animals and stuff, and rescue.
Here comes a Pokemon crossover.
Essentially, if you took this specific series of Power Rangers and you had to say it was Power Rangers crossed with something else to get this specific version, it would be Paw Patrol. That's what this is. That's what this is. And then the bad guy just happens to be demons, but they just like say that.
Yeah.
I think the actual bad guy's name is like Diabolica or something weird like that.
Yeah. It's the same. It's very like, oh, let's just pick a name that sounds bad and sounds like a familiar. It's like Avatar doing Unobtainium. Like it's lazy. Come on, that's lazy.
I mean,
like,
to be honest though, that part of it doesn't bother me as much because that's just Power Rangers.
That's true. Like, that's true.
I think like Goldar and what is it? Rita Repulsa.
Yes. Rita. Yeah.
Like the names are pretty bad.
And that's fine. That's fine. It's supposed to be kind of corny and whatever. And the source material is a little bit like that. So you watch two episodes and it's basically just two episodes of setup and that's pretty much it. That's kind of.
Yeah. And they transform one time and fight. And it was like.
Not good.
I don't know. It's not something I would get into.
Well, you don't have
to. I like their transformation, like later on, get cooler looking because they basically have like a shield emblem of their color that comes up. Like it's like the visor on their mask, like that specific symbol.
Yeah,
because
their
pops
masks
up.
Have different shapes. It's not just the color that's different. It's the actual like visor part has a different shape to it. Yeah.
Yeah, and so that pops up with their colors.
Right.
And they like jump through it and it kind of stretches around them and that's how they get their outfit. It's a cool looking transformation.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, no.
But that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
so,
nah.
Yeah. For me, it's pretty much just the original. That's it. Was I like a massive fan of it? No, I wouldn't say that I was, but I still had one of the action figures. One of my cousins had them. It was, you know, you watch it sometimes. Did I really know what was going on? No. I think I liked it more because I really liked that Super Nintendo version, like game, because I had that game and I loved it. I played it all the time and I would play it now. No problem. But it's pretty much just that, you know, I think when we were looking up before we hit record, there's 20 something different versions of Power Rangers. I thought maybe there was 10. Like I had no idea.
If this list is correct, there is 22 different series of Power Rangers, and this could be slightly older.
Right.
Updated October 1st, 2023.
Yeah. So as new as you're going to get probably. But like to me I Power Rangers just don't register with me anymore. Like I thought they were always Mighty Morphin whatever. Like I had no idea. Like I just thought they were always basically the same. They just looked different. I had no idea there was a dinosaur thing. There was a mythic force. There's a wild. I had no idea. So for me, I boot up this game and I'm just like, all right, these guys look different. What are they gonna do?
Yep.
And
just for the avid Power Ranger like fanatics that are listening to this specific episode of the Nintendo 64 podcast, Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue kind of sits right in the middle of rankings. It's number 13 out of 22. Right. So just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, so that's not bad, you know.
It's in the middle.
For as many as there are, that's not bad. That's not bad, right? You know, I don't know. I kind of had an idea that this game wasn't supposed to be very good. I've heard that before. I've read that in places before. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go in. I'm not going to expect much. That's totally fine. Let's just see. Maybe people are just saying, oh, it's bad because compared to the other versions, for example. Like, that's why it's not good. Okay, fine. But I think on its own, it's just not good. It's just...
No.
It's not a good game, man. I feel so bad. Like, honestly, I honestly feel bad saying people worked, did their job, worked hard on these games, any game, really, and it's not good. I hate shitting on people's hard work, but man, this is not... It's not fun, man. It's just, it's lame. It's so lame, right?
Yeah, I agree with you. But I'm gonna go with the positives first.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Let's do that.
I'm gonna start with the positives.
All right.
I'm gonna go right. That beginning menu is kind of cool, and it plays the theme song, which you're gonna hear a billion times throughout this thing. But when you first initially hear it, you're like, oh, this is cool. Da, 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 da.
Yep.
You know, you're like, that's cool. And then you get in and initially you get shown this like comic book-esque cutscene.
Yeah, it's like animated graphic novels or something.
Yeah.
Kind of what it feels like. Yeah.
It's really cool at first.
Yeah.
What happens is they just reuse the assets over and over and over. So you see the same image like 20 different times. In a just slightly different way.
And they zoom in from a slightly different location. Like they fly into the screen from the left. Oh, next time you see it's going to fly in from the bottom right. But it's like the same one.
Yeah. It loses its freshness. And it's the same with the theme song.
Yeah.
Which you get into the first level. Oh my gosh. And you know what you're in for. It's just a wide open space. I did a test. I can actually play this game without looking at the game. You just look at the minimap.
Oh, I see. Yes. Yes. Okay. So I did a similar test on the levels because like the first stage. So there's basically three stages in this game. There's you play on foot as one of the rangers, depending on the mission or whatever. And you're rescuing people or you're rescuing another ranger and you're collecting stuff and fighting off some enemies or something. There's another one where there's driving levels, essentially, which I think are the most, like, could be the better ones, but we'll get into the differences and sort of what they feel like. But sort of like a driving level, you're kind of going left to right, and then there's, like, a flying level, which I think there's, like, two or three of them, and that's it. But I'm pretty sure they use the exact same map every time, which is just weird. And then there's...
Yeah, and it's, like, six Megazord buildings ones. On a loop.
Yeah, yeah. You're just, like, a circle. Yeah. Like you said, the sort of the radar is basically shows you the things you need to collect, the enemies, and that's pretty much it in like little dots in the bottom left corner. And as long as you run over the things that you need to collect, everything else can be ignored. So I took a similar approach to you where it's like, instead of just looking at the map on the ones where you run around on those stages, you actually could just play the whole game with just the joystick. You have so much, You have so much health, and the enemies do like no damage, and all they do is chase you. They don't do anything else. They just come out of like these portals and they just run after you. As long as you keep moving, they won't catch up to you, and you can just. Yep. I played an entire level, about halfway through the game, I would say. Which, by the way, it's only like a 2-hour game, so halfway through was nothing. About halfway through, 3/4 way through the game, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to try it because it seems like these guys aren't doing much anyway. I went through the whole thing. I saved all the sort of quote-unquote hostages and ran through it and did not do any damage. The only damage I did is when an enemy hit me, they exploded or disappeared. That's it. That's the only damage I did. I survived without picking up health. I rescued everybody. And in like 7 minutes, the level was over. And I was like, what the... what?
Yeah. So... I feel like I just need to get it out here and explain to people the mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
You essentially you get a ranger. You don't get to pick what color. It's just a random colored ranger.
It's part of like whatever part of the story that they're doing. You just they just give you whoever. Yeah,
but they all function exactly the same. It's purely a color change.
Yep.
I don't even know if the model changes, to be honest. Like,
nope,
between
it doesn't.
Yellow and pink might get a skirt. That might be the only difference if they get a skirt. I can't remember.
I don't know that they do. I'll check.
I think there might be a slight detail, but they're exactly the same. And you think Power Rangers, what do you think? You think, oh, I get fighting. Mm-hmm. I can punch. I can kick. I can. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can. But guess what? It's not going to do anything because it shoots a little laser out. And that's the game. You're shooting a little laser with your punch and kicks. Not even your gun that the Power Rangers have. You don't even use your gun to do that. You kick and punch, and it's basically a twin stick shooter without twin sticks, and you can only go in one direction at a time.
Yes, and these maps on foot especially are so empty. Like, they're
huge.
They're huge, and you're running around, and all it basically does is, like you said, you look at the sort of the radar, the mini-map thing. It's not even a mini-map, because it actually doesn't give you an outline of what anything is. It's just dots, and that's it. And then there's an arrow to give you a general direction of which way to go. And it's not like some levels are a little bit more of a maze sometimes, but for the most part, it's just an open area with maybe a couple buildings, maybe a couple rocks in the way. And you're just following the arrow. And then once you do, once you rescue everybody or you know, whatever the task is, actually it is pretty much always rescuing someone. The level yep. just ends. It says level complete. And then you get a little, yay!
Yay!
That's it. And yeah. So abruptly too. It's just like, boom, yay, next.
It's so stupid. And not only that, so you fight these enemies, right? Okay, I will say occasionally they do put a boss in there.
Oh, yeah. Those ones you would actually have to...
And yeah. Those ones you have to fight. And I actually thought those were the redeeming qualities of those levels.
Okay.
Even though it's just spamming the button fighting. Because yeah. it offers incentive to fight. Because like you said, I reached a point where I'm like, oh, I don't have to fight. And I just ran.
Yeah.
And then they'll randomly drop power-ups too. And anytime you don't get the speed-up power-up where you just move faster, you're like, well, this is lame. I don't want this power-up.
Yeah. That's all I want is the speed one so I can get the level over with.
Yeah. And they give you extensive power-ups that, I mean, they give you a double shot, a triple mm-hmm. shot, which are exactly how they sound. You shoot three lasers or two lasers versus one. But they're smaller and they're spread out. They don't fire straight ahead. They fire straight out.
Yeah.
Or like at a diagonal. So it shoots like a V or a Y rather than shooting straight on. So if an enemy takes double hits, you can't just kill it in one shot. You still got to hit it twice.
And they all have a timer on them too. So it's not even how much you use it. It's more just like, oh, it ticks down based on time.
There's an invisibility.
Invisibility, which does nothing because the enemies can still see you and you can still hit them, like run into them. Like,
or you can run. No, they stop. They can't see you.
Oh, maybe they can't see you. But you can run in. You can run into them.
So yeah, you can run into them.
You're invisible. Shouldn't you just go right through them? No, that mechanic doesn't even exist.
Yeah. I think the shields and the speed up were the only two power ups that were useful.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And there's one other. Oh, there's a stronger hit, and that's useful in Megazord battles. But that's it.
Yeah, because the ones on foot, everyone takes a single hit. And that's all.
Yeah.
And those enemies, while we still talk about the levels that are on foot, the enemies, I don't know what they look like in the show. You watched it, and I never watched this growing up at all. So I'm going into.
I don't even remember.
Yeah, but even without watching it, I had no I have no reference at all for this series. So, eventually, like, there's guys that are like dressed in black. There's, I don't even know what else. There's green ones that hop around. I don't know if they're supposed to be frogs or something, but it looks like their feet are tied together and they just hop after you. And then there is, of course, a cosplaying Bumblebee looking dude.
Yeah, that's the one I remember. That one was hilarious.
Ridiculous. All you hear is bzzz. I'm like, oh, here comes the Bumblebee guy. And it honestly just looks like, you know what it looks like? It looks like one of the people that, I mean, this is not any, it's a job, you know, I don't want to disparage anybody's job. Or whatever, but it looks like the people that are dressed up outside of like a furniture store that says like, we have a 20% off sale now at you know, the furniture store. Come over here. And they're like on the sidewalk spinning the signs. That's what it looks like. It looks like one of those people dressed up in a costume. It's ridiculous.
We're getting busy over here. Something stupid.
We are zapping deals.
You like jazz?
It's so ridiculous. It's so dumb. And it's just, it's like three or four different enemies that just repeat no matter what the setting is, no matter what you're, no matter what ranger you are, it's exactly the same. And the animations are terrible on not only them, but the rangers themselves are, they just, I don't even know how to describe what
bland.
It's bland, but it looks like, I don't know, they're so robotic and they, it's just, oh my God, man. It's just ridiculous.
I think when they're actually like punching and kicking, it looks okay. Yeah. But when they're running around, they look like tin soldiers.
That's like a good one. Yeah. Or like a nutcracker or something. Yeah. Yeah. Like the wind
but
up.
They all look the same. And if if you get the speed up power up, they just look the same, but faster.
Yeah.
They just, really their feet funny. Just... it's so dumb. It looks really bad. And it looks so bad. The open worlds, like, they don't even look interesting. They're completely bland. They're right now, if you're watching this on the video feed, you just have roads and some different textures that pop up, like bricks, and maybe some buildings that just kind of get in your way. And there's a timer in the corner, right? There's a timer, and it gives you like 8 minutes. Yeah, it gives you like 8 minutes. It never really matters. It never really is a thing because you'll beat, like, as long as you're competent, you'll beat this level way before that timer. So it's like, why even have that mechanic? But then they'll sit there and they'll be like, rescue 15 people. You have to run around this map and grab these people 15 times. And they're spaced out like across the map, like one corner to corner.
There's no
between people.
Yeah.
It's like, no... get one in this corner, get one in this corner. Oh, go back to that other corner. And it'll keep doing that.
There's no rhyme or reason as to why they are where they are. Like, yeah, like it's not like you're going from left to right or up, down. Like, oh, I'm going to do the top section. Then I'm going to move to the left section. Then I'm going to move to the right-handed area of this. No, it just feels like they put them in random spots and you're just backtracking for no reason. And it's just the one thing I did want to say that I don't understand this idea too. You were mentioning the triple and double shots and like the abilities and stuff. There is one on foot that is like a completely missed opportunity. If this was a better game, then I think, you know, you'd be able to take advantage of that, but there's like a coin you pick up or something that like eliminates all the enemies around you. Yeah, shockwave. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you just got it.
I just got one. Yeah, there is.
Good talking.
It's an interesting idea. Like, it's fine. Like, it's, you know, sort of like a finishing move or something like that, right? But why is that only a pickup? And why is it like, why don't you have like a meter that builds up or something that you can use that or whatever? Nope. You just run around like a tin man, like you said, and shoot light balls out of your fists and your feet. And like, that's all. And even only if you want to, you don't even have to do that part. So I don't know.
Yeah.
These levels, like at certain points, there was ones where it's like, oh, rescue 15 people. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to, can I just do five?
It's too many. I had a few thoughts when I was playing. I'm like, just to make the gameplay better without actually changing anything.
Yeah.
You could have used the C buttons to shoot in different directions. They use the A button to shoot forward and the B button to shoot backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And you like stop and do it every time you do it. But if you use the C buttons and it was more like Robotron controls, like an actual twin stick shooter kind of a thing, it would have been better. I'm not saying it would have been good, but I'm saying it would have been better. And you could have like quadrupled the enemy count.
Oh,
made
yeah.
The, or made them faster or something. Just put a lot of enemies on there and make you constantly just fighting and trying to like push through everything.
Yep.
Also add a co-op mode. I think that would be dope.
There's co-op like, in the PlayStation version, but it's a completely different game.
Like, yeah, it's completely different.
Yeah.
But moving on. There's vehicles.
Yeah, there's, I didn't know any of this whole like firefighter type stuff like you were saying. So I was just like, oh, am I shooting water? Like, what am I doing here? So
I was not meaning to downplay, like, if you're a firefighter, hey, that's cool. I'm not downplaying that. I'm just saying, like, if I have a choice between a Tyrannosaurus Rex and a fire truck, I'm going with the Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Come on, it's you're basically supposed to be superheroes. You're gonna go for the dinosaur, like you just are. Like, you know, if you're doing a show about emergency vehicles and firefighters and policemen, okay, cool, fine, yeah, use those. That's great, awesome.
But and actually, that's not I just realized supposed to be. They're supposed to be train carts, or like they're individual vehicles, but they're like a train.
Oh,
and they fly out at light speed. That's what it's supposed. That's like what it is. It's like light speed rescue. They fly out on this train and then they separate and then they can form into the Megazord or whatever.
Oh God. Yeah. So these vehicle levels, the one where you're driving from left to right, it is what do you call that? It's just automated. You know, you're not actually.
It's a rail
on rails. It's essentially on rails.
It sucks that it moves so slow too.
Yeah,
it's so slow, and the aiming is like impossible. I mean,
that's the thing with the whole game. The controls, we're talking about the C buttons. It doesn't matter what stage you are. It's such a fail for this game to be out in 2000, for them to fail on how to use the analog stick is insane, because the whole game is basically on a grid, and it's very obvious that it's on a grid because you can't aim in like the fine areas in between up, down, left, and right. Like it's just like, it's one of like four directions almost in the entire game, and that's it. And that's all you got. And it's just like, well, this could have been on the NES with the way that it controls. Like, honestly.
Absolutely. The vehicles, like, so these missions will require you to either A, destroy enemies, or they'll just throw enemies randomly in there.
Yeah.
You're avoiding traffic, and you're trying to do something like, there's at one point where you're picking up radioactive waste, you're filling up potholes or something, I don't know. Or you're extinguishing fires on vehicles or picking up passengers. Either way, you just kind of run into them.
That's it.
Shooting the fires out is really hard.
Yeah.
Because you have to shoot in that one direction. But did you play it all with the D-pad? Because you can. And I did. Oh. And I think it actually helped.
Did it help? Okay. I did it. I tried it for, I can't remember which stage. I tried it for like one level and that was it. And then I think I played it in two sittings. And then I think the next time I just forgot that I could. But That makes sense, because it's a two button game. It's the directions and it's A. You don't even really have to use B on some of the state. Like, you really don't. You'll survive, obviously, like we've talked about. But that makes sense, because it is very much a grid, like I said. So the D-pad actually does make sense. But I just found that the hilarious part of this, of these stages, that the on rails driving, is that when you bump into like civilian vehicles, they just go flying.
They do. They do. I'm over here. Help me. Destroy all the civilian vehicles to get to them.
Yeah. Okay. So the level I'm doing right now, if anyone's watching it, I literally just put the vehicle at the top of the screen and didn't move, and the enemies couldn't hit me. That's it. I could take them out, but they wouldn't actually like hit me with their thing. So another version of like, yeah, you do have to move around in these stages, but it's not good.
Yeah. Alternatively, right now you see there's a moment where it'll speed up and it'll have like one enemy come at you. It lasts for like 5 seconds and then it stops. You think it's going to get interesting, but then it doesn't and goes back right to where it was.
Yeah.
But they do flip the script and give you two levels. I believe it's two levels where it's 3D.
Yeah.
And it's flying, totally different.
You're flying a ship like those ones.
Yeah. And when you're flying the green ship, That one's okay. It just changed everything into that third dimension. You're flying around, you have a tractor beam, and you're like picking stuff up and you can shoot enemies. It doesn't control great, but it's certainly more interesting than any of the stuff we've seen so far.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I think so too. I think what they could have done is like the larger levels where you're on foot, put those there. Like put those flying levels in those types of maps, because you could do more.
Yeah.
Maybe you could have more enemies, like whatever it might be. But yeah, it's not. Does it make like a massive difference? No. But I agree, and I think I think you're right. I think there's only two of them, maybe three, maybe. And again, everything lasts so quickly because this game is literally 2 hours from start to finish. That's it, right? So
there's like maybe 30 levels, I'd say, something like that.
Yeah, at the most, and each one is less than 10 minutes. That's the longest.
Yeah,
one. That's the longest one, right? So.
And then
of course you get to the Megazord, and that's where I was excited because you know what, you know, I'm not like a huge like mech person. I'm not like in love with that. It's fun. It's cool. But really, if you're watching Power Rangers, no matter what iteration of it, but especially the early one when I was, you know, 5 years old and I was watching the
Megazord.
It's so cool. It's huge. It looks corny. Yeah. It's just people in costumes that make it look like it's big. I get it. But come on, that's awesome to see. So I was excited, when that level first came up and stuff. What'd you think?
I thought they were some of the better moments of the game.
Okay.
Personally, they're very short. So it's so almost short. Like you get in, you get like a small taste of it, and you're like, oh, that was kind of fun. Mm-hmm. There is a Megazord Arena mode, which is like a multiplayer experience, and you can play as the monsters too, but it's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
You just turn into first person and you shoot, and you can get power-ups, and you can use special moves. But at least it gives you special moves. That's what I think makes it
That's different. True. That's true.
And if you get up close, it switches to a melee mode, for better or worse. But at least it's definitely for at worse. Least it changes it up and it offers something fresh that really feels faster paced than the rest of the game.
Yeah. And like you said, the power-ups actually matter. And they're probably the most later in the game, they're probably the most challenging levels because some of the later, I guess they're boss battles essentially is what they are. Some of the boss battles, some of these larger fights, they hit a little harder than, you know, the enemies that you run around or do with the other vehicles and stuff like that. So like, okay, there's a tiny bit of challenge to it. Ultimately, I thought I was doing something wrong because I thought it was going to be third person. I don't understand why it's first person to me.
It is a little weird.
I get that it's possible. I get that's like sort of like early 3D technology and stuff. That's kind of part of what the appeal is. It's like, oh, cool. Look what we can do. Different perspectives, different game types. But I would have preferred to see the monsters. I would have preferred to see the Megazord. Like, it looks cool, but you only get to see it for 3 seconds at the end of the level.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like,
I think actually generally this game, if they would have just, instead of doing the overhead camera, mm-hmm. and they would have flipped it around and done kind of an older over the shoulder third person thing, that would have changed the game entirely, because even if you did that, you'd be able to see enemies in front of you, be able to see where you need to go rescue a hostage. Regardless of the draw distance, it would have made a difference and made it feel a bit more special. This game suffers from blandness and mediocrity. I would say it plays, it functions. Is it the worst game I've ever played? No. Is it good? No. I would say it's not even okay. I would say it's just so boring.
Yeah.
It's boring.
Yeah,
it functions. You can play it. You can get through it. It's short, so you don't regret much of your life. But you're like, this would not capture someone if they played like the first three levels. They would stop.
Yeah, it does not put a good foot forward at all. And you're right. Like it's so funny. It's like put it on the box. You won't regret your life that much. You know, like that's basically like. You'll be
for long,
yeah, for very long. You won't regret your life for very long. Wow, what a selling point. Yeah, you can see in the video now. This is the stage.
Put his hands up.
I put my hands up, and I just had one hand to the camera, and I was like, "Look, like the guys are just they're just chasing me." That's it.
Look at that bee. The bee buzzing
is,
after
the
you.
The bee is relentless. I also kind of look like a bee because I'm the Yellow Ranger in this level. I don't know. It's just,
dude, I did the exact same thing on that exact same stage. I walked into that thinking it was an open area, and it was not.
No. Nothing.
It's so confusing.
It's like, and the camera is sort of like an awkward angle, I would say, because like, it really clips through all the buildings. Anyways,
it gives a vibe that they're like, oh, we don't want to mess with the camera controls, so we're just going to do this basic locked camera view.
Yes. On every single level, it's the same.
Yeah.
Like, you have no control over any, like this, aside from, okay, the modeling, aside from, you know, what you couldn't really do in 1990 or whatever, you could have made almost the exact same version of this game on the Super Nintendo or NES. Like, it could have felt like a very similar game. So that brings me to the Game Boy Color version of this, because I played it, and I played almost all of it, actually, and it's definitely a longer game than this, which is interesting. So it's a 2D platformer where you have, I think it's like 6 or 7 levels, similar to this, where it's like you're kind of like in the city, or you're at the docks, or you're in a field, or you're whatever, right? And there's 3 different mini levels within each area. And you start with rescuing people. So, you know, a building's on fire, you got to rescue people. And then once you beat that, you move on to like the battle one, and the battle one is, oh, you have to eliminate as many enemies as you can within the time limit. And then you move on to the boss battle, which is a Megazord fight, which is not great. I actually think that's probably the worst part of the game, because just controlling on a, you know, two buttons on a Game Boy Color. It's not great. It just is what it is. But the game itself is still much more varied and interesting than anything that this thing delivers, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I had that one growing up. I liked it.
It's totally a better game.
I still
game.
Have it. It's in my closet.
Do you really? Oh, okay. So first time I played it, Power Rangers wasn't on my radar when I had Game Boy Color or Game Boy Advance around that time. I just never played it. I was like, okay, I'll pick it up. I got my emulation device. I'm just going to give it a shot and played it. And it was good. It was better than this game.
I just realized I had a story.
Yes.
About Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue.
Okay.
And I rented this game. I never owned it, but I rented it. So that's what I remember this. But the Game Boy game, I do have a funny story. I would play my little Game Boy Color, my purple translucent Game Boy Color.
Yep, I had the same one.
In the back seat of my car. And one of the levels is the dam.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the back and I was just like playing the levels and I was like talking to myself. And I was selecting the level and I got it. And I was like, you know, I'm a little kid. So my mom would just be like, don't swear, you know,
right,
which
right.
I didn't. But I was like, ah, the damn. And my mom's like, why did you just like got all mad at me? And I'm like, no, I'm talking about the level. I'm going to the level, the damn. So yeah, that's it.
That reminds me of, I don't know if you've ever seen Vegas Vacation, the movie. But in that, they do a very childish joke, which to me just works, where they go to the Hoover Dam and he's like, you can take all the damn pictures you want. You can ask me all the damn questions you want. Like they'd say something. And I'm like, it's such a silly joke, but I love it. Like that's what that reminds me.
It's so stupid, but awesome.
It's so dumb. It's so childish.
It's so Chevy Chase.
Right? Yes, exactly. Yeah. So that's so funny. Yeah, because you would have been pretty young at that point and stuff, too. So it's more like,
yeah,
you can't say anything where you're that age. Right. Never mind. Like, never mind, like
somewhere around 8 or 9 or 10 or something.
Yeah,
like
so there you go. Yeah, exactly. So that's hilarious. Okay, so like this game's just, it's not good. I feel bad saying that. I really do feel bad saying that people's work is shit, but this game's pretty shit in my opinion. I don't think it's very good. It like you said, at least it's over quickly, but that's not something to praise, honestly.
Yeah.
it just isn't.
Yeah, I mean, on my scale of ranking games, it's a 2 for me out of 10 because I only give it that extra point above 1 because, well, it functions. You can actually play it. It's not like, it's not broken. You can finish the game, you know.
That's true. You can finish this game. Put it on the box.
Yeah, there you go.
Whether you want to or not, you can play this entire game and you can finish it. Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. I if anyone's ever curious about playing games that we've talked about, or if you want to play it before we, you know, even get to it, that kind of thing. Like this is one of the ones where you can just listen to us talk about it, watch the video on YouTube,
and
watch my playthrough of it while we're talking about it. That's all you need to know, because honestly, I don't think watching the video is even going to sell you on it anyways. So, take a peek, laugh at the funny character animations, I would say, and some of the sound effects, and then just call it a day. Like,
let me just say, and I'm not even saying me, because I gave it a somewhat better score, but we were talking mad smack about Clay Fighter being a bad game.
Yes.
Okay? And this is... Clay Fighter's way better than this game.
Absolutely.
Way better.
Absolutely.
Way better.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Is it way better? I think it's way better.
It's way better. You at least find some enjoyment. Like, you could play it for 2 hours and you'd be done with Clay Fighter, but you'd be like, well, that was fun for what it was.
And it was something different, you know? in a lot of ways as well, right? At least it does something. Yeah, this doesn't do anything different.
And you have a couple laughs.
Yeah, and you have a couple laughs, exactly, right? Like, I don't know, what if these guys farted a couple times? Then at least you'd get something out of this game. You know, fart noises.
Every time they do the laser, like, noise, it's just...
you know what? We're talking about mods for 2024. Maybe we should just mod this game and make them fart noises.
That
and
would
then,
be really
and then revisit
funny.
It.
It's important to note that they did actually have clips, voice clips, from the actual Power Rangers actors, which I think is worth saying.
That's true. And there's also, like, a voice... It's kind of interesting, because, like, again, we've talked... The actually the funniest is the funniest is the people that you rescue. I couldn't quite I couldn't quite pinpoint what they sounded like, of like any actors or something like that. But they don't even sound excited to be rescued because they're just like, yay, hey, I'm over here, yay, all right,
yep,
yay, and that's it. And that's they say like three things the entire time, repeated over and over, just like the music. I think there's like two or three songs in this entire game that run probably 20 seconds each or something.
Yeah.
And we've been impressed a couple times with music and some sound effects and stuff with the N64, you know, over the last several months. This does not share that attribute at all.
No.
So sorry people, but this is a skip. This is a not very good game.
Yep.
And we'll be on to something better, hopefully next time. Again, we're going to have mods that we're playing, which is really fun. One of the earlier ones, I'm not going to say exactly when it's coming out because I don't know the exact date while we sit here and record, but we are going to be playing Smash Remix. And Smash Remix has had some really big updates in the last couple of months. It's going to have a lot of really cool characters. Basically, Jiggy, if anyone doesn't know, what is Smash Remix? I say that, but if someone doesn't know what it is, what is it and what would we be playing?
Smash Remix, I believe, was actually a college project. Like, a bunch of college students had worked on the original Smash Bros. N64 title to modify it and to add characters and things, and they just kept going with it, and it just became this big thing. And so it's got, like, Conker the Squirrel, Banjo-Kazooie just got released, Goemon,
Wolf's in there, all their polygon versions as well. You know, you always fight the mini polygons. There's that.
It does a really good job of feeling authentic to the original Smash Bros. Like how these characters and stages would have actually looked. They had like 40 stages. Like,
it's crazy.
You can play a Diddy Kong Racing stage, which is awesome.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
It's so cool. I've not explored all of it. It's gonna need a thorough analysis because there's just so much content in it.
Yeah.
And it's really cool.
Yeah,
Smash Remix.
We're going to dig into that. That's going to be on the early list of mods that we're playing. And, you know, I'll record some of my gameplay. You'll probably see me get my butt whooped because I'm not very good at those games anymore. I just don't have the Twitch skills like I used to, I guess.
Dude, I'm arguably better at Smash 64 than I am Smash Ultimate.
I probably would be too. Yeah. Probably because it's just simplified and it'd be part of it. So, it's awesome. Yeah, so that's going to be one of the things that we're playing. So keep that on your watch list. Stay tuned for that. Jiggy, in the meantime, where can everybody find your awesome stuff online? Good sir, you got some pretty awesome YouTubes going on, huh?
I do some YouTube. So find me on YouTube, Jiggy Look Back, and you can find everything else from there. But YouTube is, I mean, you go on there, you'll be impressed.
I agree. I think you will. He's not just saying that. I agree. You will be impressed. Remember 64 on YouTube, on your podcast feed. Be sure to give us a rating as well. Let us know what you think. I mean, the higher the stars, better. That'd be nice, you know. But
I don't know how you describe
it.
I was gonna say a complimentary thing that we're even saying. Rate it. But honestly, that just means go give us 5 stars.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Spotify.
Rate it how you want, but 5 stars.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, think what you want, but in public, but just make it 5 stars. Yeah.
Yeah. 5 stars. Remember 64, 5 stars. That's the name of the podcast.
That's the name of the podcast. it's just a way for the if anyone doesn't know, it's just another way for like these podcast feeds and stuff to kind of bump the show up, and more random people will find it and everything as well. But so that's basically how that works. Patreon.com/remember64show, where you can get every single episode early as well. I'm going to start doing little preview videos of each of these games that we're playing, and sort of doing like a little mini feed where I'm just saying like, hey, this is kind of what I'm feeling like as I'm playing this game. That's going to be exclusive to Patreon as well. Eventually I'll probably put those on main feeds, but for the most part, those are going to be Patreon exclusive. Episodes will be days early and as little as $1 a month. So that's it. It'll help us.
I watched the preview for Power Rangers before I went back and played Power Rangers, and it made me laugh. I didn't remember any of that, but just the when you got to the part where they win the level, and it's like, yeah. I was like, oh, no.
It's so bad.
I don't remember it being that bad.
It's terrible.
But I was also, like, you know, 8, so whatever.
Yeah, yeah, right? So yeah, so that's something new we're going to be adding to the feed. But other than that, Remember 64 Show across social media as well. And as we mentioned, video versions of this podcast up on YouTube as well.
Heck
so
yeah,
so you can see the ridiculous references that we're making, including this stage that I think I'm playing right now, which I think was the only stage that I might have failed because I just kept running into vehicles. So I actually died once in this game. It's very forgiving. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
What happens when you die? I don't think I even know.
Mission failed. And then it just and it brings you back
just
to the...
just restarts.
That's it. Just restarts.
Oh, your ship's destroyed. That's funny. There's a little cutscene to show the ship damage. That's funny.
And then it brings you back to the main menu. That's all.
Great.
And somehow you're supposed to know what stage you were just on. Like, it doesn't tell you. It just sort of... you pick any... anyways, whatever. Rangers Lightspeed Rescue. It's a skip. Just... it is what it is, people. It happens.
Yep.
On to the next one. And Jiggy, thanks for toughing it out through this game. I'd like to say thanks for recommending it, but no thank you. And
and it's a good one to get out of the way.
We're going to get it out of the way. We're going to move on to some good stuff. So thanks, everyone, for listening. And Jake, thanks for being here once again. And we will talk to everybody soon. See you next time on Remember 64.